All right. This is not the final class, but this is the final Navi. We are today going to discuss Malachi. Malachi, we always start off by discussing, you know, whether or not, who is this Navi? What do we know about him? What tribe is he from? When did he live, etc.? Of all of the, and we always usually do the first pasuk, which fills us in on the information. I would say of all the Nevi'im, Malachi is the one we know the least about. If you look at the first pasuk, the first verse of Malachi, it says, Masa Devar Hashem El Yisrael Biyad Malachi. Masa, a word that we're not used to. We're going to assume for the time being, and we'll get back to it, means a prophecy, right? Masa Devar Hashem, giving over the word of Hashem to regard to Hashem's words to Israel through Malachi. We don't know who Malachi's father is. We don't know what tribe he's from. We don't have any information about Malachi whatsoever. And therefore, not only that, but the name Malachi is somewhat suspect. What does the word Malach mean? Malach means an angel, a messenger, which is kind of a very generic name for a Navi, right? The Navi is referred to as my messenger. So therefore, the Gemara in Megillah starts off by asking, and who might this Malachi be? Amar Rav Nachman, Malachi zeh Mordechai. Actually, Malachi is none other than our dear friend Mordechai from the book of Esther. I think the source disappeared. I don't know if that matters or not, because there's no one online besides me, so I don't think anyone cares. Right. Okay. Well, again, it's the both of us, yes, but I think you can take either way. I'm still speaking to myself and being recorded. Because Shlom, these are deep questions, really. The older generation just doesn't understand technology. That's what the issue is. So the first comment in the Gemara is that Malachi is actually Mordechai. Why? So if that's the case, why did they call the book Malachi? Why don't they call it the book of Mordechai? Wouldn't that make sense? V'lam nikra shmo Malachi. So why are we calling Malachi? Show you Mishnah Melech. Right? Melech is the king. Malachi is the little king, the mini king. So therefore he's called Malachi because he was the second to the king. So the Gemara says, wait a second, I don't think I like that. Mesay, the Brisa says, Baruch ben Neriah, Visroya ben Masia, V'Daniel, V'Mordechai, Baalshan, V'Chagez, V'Chai Malachi, Kulam Nisnavi, V'Shnoshan, V'Daryavish. Said that this, in the second year of Darius, there was a whole bunch of different prophets out there. Baruch ben Neriah was one, and we're going on the list, Daniel, Mordechai, Chagai, Zachariah, Malachi, wait a second. If Mordechai and Malachi are the same person, you just counted him twice. The fact that you counted Mordechai and Malachi as separate people indicates that they are separate people, in fact, as you might have guessed. So he says to Yufta, okay, so Malachi was not Mordechai. That was fun while it lasted. So who was he? Rabbi Shu ben Karcha, Malachi ze Ezra. Actually, Malachi was actually known as Ezra. And Chacham says, Malachi Shmo. No, actually, he was nobody. He was Malachi. Ezra was Ezra, Mordechai was Mordechai, and Malachi was Malachi. That's his name. Omer of Nachman Mistaber Command Omer Malachi Zo Ezra. Rav Nachman says, I actually think that like the second opinion. I think he's Ezra. Why? The Ksib and Nevias Malachi, Bogda Yehuda Vatoeva Nesa Bisov Yishalim Kichol Yehuda Kodesh Shem Shehav Shehav Ubao Basak El Nechar. It says that Malachi sits there and he screams, it's so terrible that the people are intermarrying. And who was it who got up in Tanakh and says, you have to leave your non-Jewish wives? Ezra. It's the same story. So they came forward and they say, you know, we did wrong. We shouldn't have married non-Jewish women. So we have here basically three opinions as to who was Malachi. One opinion is for all intents and purposes rejected, but then either he is Ezra or he's not Ezra. Those are the two opinions that we're left with. Tosfos in Yevamos, nowhere near the Gemara Megillah, comments in the middle, V'kaimelon Malachi ze Ezra. We in fact hold that Malachi and Ezra were the same person. That is the opinion of Tosfos. The Maariv Chiyah says, why? How did Tosfos know that? So Malachi ze Ezra, near Be'enai, B'sifrei Torahs Neviim Timazi al Das HaTosfos, Be'ema, B'ksib Be'em Tzidivrei, V'kaimelon Malachi ze Ezra. How exactly did they know this? And does Avi know it? Yeah, get the capitals right. Oh, okay, you're back. So again, I'm not sure why we're doing this at all. I will repeat my question, being that. Well, I'm on it still. Hi, Avi. Your video's not on. I can't see you, by the way. If anybody cares. So the Maariv Chiyah says, where did he get this from? Why did Tosfos get up and announce that we follow that opinion? He says, because if you look at the Targum in the first pasuk, that's what it says. He says that the Targum biyad Malachi, the Yiskar Yeshmei Ezra. This is Malachi, who's also known as Ezra. Right, Ezra Safra, Ezra HaSofer. For Yadam, Yonasam Ibn Avim Chage Zachari Malachi Nesadeh. Now, who wrote the Targum? Chage Zachari Malachi. So therefore, Malachi's opinion is that Malachi was Ezra. So you'd assume that Malachi should be given a certain amount of credit for his opinion on who he was. So that is the opinion of Maariv Chiyah, that in fact, Ezra and Malachi are the same person. On Navi, we discussed this back in Chagai. Remember, we mentioned that Chagai Zachari and Malachi were known as the authors of the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. So Malachi is one of the authors of the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Therefore, it would seem that we would trust his opinion. It's interesting, the Ben Ishchai in the Sefer Binayahu goes one step beyond. He says there is no machlokes, actually, between the second and third opinion. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says Malachi zo Ezra. Mechachamim says Malachi shemo. It's not arguing. It's saying that, yes, it's the same person, and his real name is Malachi, and his nickname is Ezra. As opposed to the first opinion that says, actually, his real name was Ezra, but they used to call him Malachi. But really, everybody agrees, according to this, that Malachi and Ezra are the same person. The truth of the matter is not everybody agrees with that. The Abarbanel takes issue with the Tosos here, and he says that, in fact, Malachi and Ezra could not have been the same person. He says, Ein Tadus of Nachman Esli Mochracha. See, what was the argument? They both talk about intermarriage. He says, really? That's going to be a proof? And these are the only two times you've ever heard Nevi'im talk against intermarriage. And in fact, there are many things we'll see in Malachi which he had took issue with, which Ezra never mentioned. It's not like both books are talking about the same thing. He speaks against the Kohanim who weren't doing their job right. They're bringing improper karbanos. And he also, we'll see, talks out against Yisrael that they're not bringing proper trumos and maestros. So you know some karoi. There's so much that Malachi talks about that Ezra never told. So why are you telling me that they have to be the same person? Also, Ezra is not called Ezra Hanavi. It's called not Ezra the prophet, but Ezra the scribe. And if he was actually a Navi, they probably should have mentioned that. They say, Achshav Shelo Haya Malachi Ezra. So I don't think it's the same person. Avol Navi Acher Nikra Malachi Kedas Chomishua Nachum Ki Ezra Hu Betchilas Habayis Bibanoso Mari Besofa Binyano Acher Miad. He said, also, he said, their times don't line up. Ezra was came in at the very beginning of the construction. Malachi, we'll see, is at the very, very end. And maybe even a little later than that. This is the second temple. Solomon built the first temple. Ezra built the second temple. Yep. Now, it's good that you came tonight. He got in on the ground floor, literally. Right. The Rambam. So Malachi's a different person. Also a great guy. Would love to have him over for drinks one time. But again, but he's not Ezra. The Rambam in his Hakdamah to the Mishnayos inadvertently takes sides with this. And he says, he's talking about the Masorah, how it went down in history from Moshe to Yoshua, Yehoshua to Zakenim, etc., until we hit the Anshe Knesset HaGadolah. And who were the Anshe Knesset HaGadolah? And they are Vehim Chagai, Zachariah, Malachi, Daniel, Vehananya, Mishael, Vehazariah, Vehezra, Asofer, Nechemi, Bachachuyoi, Vemordechai, Vezrubavel, Ben Shaltiel. Who were members of it? So who's on the list here? Ezra and Malachi. Right? So the same proof we had in the Gemara that Malachi is not Mordechai would appear so that the Rambam disagrees with Tosos and assumes that they're the two different people. Does it really make a difference one way or the other who he was? Yeah, it actually does. There is some minor twist in there where it does come up to be a difference, but not so much. Right now we want to know from a historical perspective. So both of them are strong opinions, right? Obviously, Tosfos and his supporters are a very strong opinion. That's the same person. The Abarbanel and the Rambam are also forces to reckon with. So we don't even know who Malachi is. That's step number one. Now, when did this Nevuah happen? I don't know of any of them. Right. Neither would prove one way or the other. But I'm not... In Yeshiva, they never took us to Kaver Malachi. Not that I remember. Or Kaver Ezra, for that matter. It's interesting that there is a tradition, I didn't put it on the sheet, that Malachi died on Asara B'Tevis. The 10th day of Tevis. It's a fast day. We also happen to know when Ezra died. Right? That's it. In the Slichas for Asara B'Tevis, we said that Ezra died on the 8th of Tevis, because the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th all should have been fast days. One is for the Yahrzeit of Ezra HaSofer. Another one, because that was the day of the Targum Shivim, right? The day that they translated the Bible into the Septuagint, right? And then there is the 10th day of Tevis. So it's not the same Yahrzeit, but it's... we're not celebrating it. We're mourning it. We're mourning it. Again, because the Torah was seen as something that was very special and close to the Jewish people, that it was our book, and all of a sudden this made it more right. So if you look at the Slichos for Asara B'Tevis, the first Slicha, I believe, gets up there and it says that, you know, here we are 3 days in a row, and it lists off these three. The Gemara seems to have a clear opinion as to when it happened. It says, "Misha Mesu Nevi Machorim Chagai Zachari Malachi Nistalka Ruach Hakodesh MiYisrael." Right, when Chagai Zachari Malachi died, that was the end of the time of prophecy. What does it tell us about the time of these three Nevi'im? They were clearly contemporaneous, right? Right, because obviously it says when the three of them died, if they all died. Yes, we have confirmation. Would you like to read it? Aye. Right, so yes, the Septuagint before or after it. Right, so the 8th is right. So again, we're within 2 days of the Yahrzeit. Now again, I don't know if it's the same year, But that is the idea. So again, it seems that would seem from here, obviously, that Malachi was a contemporary of Chagai and Zechariah. We always speak of the three of them together. And therefore, the assumption is that his Nevuah was given at the time of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Ibn Ezra quotes an opinion that he does not name, and he points out that there is a problem with it. We talk about that there are two different, in fact, two different kingdoms of Israel. One is known as Yehuda, and the other is known as Yisrael. When we talk about Yisrael, who are we talking about? The 10 tribes, right? Who is this Nevuah said to? Yisrael, which indicates the northern kingdom, which indicates that the northern kingdom still existed. Now, the northern kingdom was out of commission a solid 100 years before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And this is another 70 years later. So we're talking about 200 years ago, which is not a rounding error. So according to the opinion quoted in the Bar Benel, again, number 9, Nevuah Omer Ki Al Yisrael Hisnave Terem Golo Ashur. So he said that there is an opinion. He doesn't name who the opinion is, that this is referring to the northern kingdom prior to their going into exile through Assyria, which is off by 200 years. Obviously, because it couldn't have been now, because there was no Yisrael to talk to, he rejects this. Odiva Nechona, that's incorrect. He said, no, once Yisrael went out of business, the northern kingdom, then the southern kingdom became known as Israel. So therefore, that is not an acceptable opinion, according to the Ibn Ezra. And therefore, we assume that we are talking about when we talk about Yisrael, it's talking about the southern kingdom, and therefore the assumption was Malachi is giving Nevuah at that point. Now, the Bar Benel discusses this, and he points out an interesting point, which we kind of glossed over. We spoke of Chagai and Zechariah, we spoke about the fact that they were contemporaries of Ezra. Right? He says, Ezra, in the fifth parak, quotes Chagai and Zechariah, which indicates that they were around the same time. What's interesting is he doesn't quote Malachi. So there's two possibilities. What could that mean? One possibility is, well, he is Malachi, and therefore it would be silly for him to be quoting himself. A second possibility is maybe Malachi wasn't a contemporary, and that's why he wasn't quoted. So the Bar Benel says, "Tireh Chagai v'Zechariah nichtav zman nevuas, avol nichtav zman b'nevuas Malachi." Said, you'll note that we write when, by Chagai and Zechariah, it says what year the Nevuah was. It doesn't say that by Malachi. Now Chagai v'Zechariah dibru b'binyan habayis echad hamarbe v'echad hamamid. Remember, Chagai spoke about, also Zechariah, whether you're giving a little or a lot, whether it's a great building or not, you know, you just keep on building the building. Malachi doesn't talk about building. And Malachi won't even, Dover may have been in, never talks about it, right? This was a major focus of the other two. Okay, number B'Sefer Ezra, B'Snabi Chagai Nevi'ah, B'Zechariah Bar Idu Nevi'ah. When he talks about the Beis HaMikdash, never mentions Malachi. Seems that they weren't really contemporaries. He says that in fact, at the very beginning, you had a Chagai. Okay, that wasn't me. It wasn't my phone or anything. Okay, good. So he says that Chagai was the Navi at the time, at the very beginning of the rebuilding. Zechariah was in the middle, towards the end of the rebuilding. And then you have Malachi actually came after the rebuilding. Shortly after the dedication of the second base of Mingdus, then Malachi came, the very last of the Nevi'im. But he also, Achon, Achon, Nevi'im, but most of Nifsakar Nevu'ah. And that's why he is the very end of the Nevu'ah. At the end he says, remember, you're not going to get this again. What does the word maso mean? So Murtu Asiyon gives this simple explanation, Nevu'ah. Because it's Bi'omer Dvar Hashem. The word masa just means Nevu'ah, and it adds on, this is the word of Hashem, to further indicate that. The Abar Benel says it has a little bit of a different meaning. What does the word masa mean, literally? A load. So he says, when he talks about a masa, he says it's a burden that the prophet carries. Actually, far as masa is in the Russian, masa kavet, like something heavy. Yechavdu mimeni, it's harder, heavier than I can carry. Says again, what were these nevuahs? It's always bad news. It's always, he was just always dumping a load. So he says, here's the load that Malachi is going to dump on us. So that's the meaning of masa. Okay, let's get to the nevuah itself. Most of Malachi is a haftarah. More than the first perek is the, again, we're only dealing with three perekim. More than the first perek is the haftarah for Parshas Toldos. And pretty much the overwhelming majority of the third perek is the haftarah for Shabbos Shuva, correct. So we start off by the first pasuk says, Ahavti Aschem Amar Hashem. God says, I love you. And you respond, said, yeah, how do you love us? So Hashem says, well, you know, there's Esav, there's Yaakov. I like Yaakov better. Chaim Angel, again, got to quote the book once, says that this is the structure of Malachi. It's give and take. Right? The book of Malachi is structured in the form of dialogues. These dialogues are not necessarily transcripts of debates between the prophet and his people. Rather, Malachi uses a rhetorical device that reflects the fundamental sentiments of the people. Malachi gets up and says, you know, God loves you, and you might not see it now. However, he then goes on to a few topics. Again, it's not a big navi here. The first topic that he focuses on, as we mentioned a little earlier, is the failings of the Kohanim. We'll just pull out one pasuk, and it says, "Ki sifse kohen nishma rudas v'tori yevakshem v'piyo kimach adonai tzva'osu." They're comparing the words of the kohen to the words of the Torah, because a kohen has served almost a level of an angel. This is a very important pasuk, because again, we've gone in terms of the navi itself. It goes back and goes through the extended discussion about the Kohanim are doing their jobs. They're accepting karbanos that are of inferior quality. He goes on and explains that. And then he says at the end, this is what the Kohanim should be. The Gemara in Moed Katan tells us this isn't just the Kohanim, but anybody who's a leader of the Jewish people is held to a higher standard. But Torah, you've actually piyu kimach Hashem tzvakosu. What does that pasuk mean? Imdome, a rav l'malach Hashem. If your rabbi, to you seems like an angel, that he is somebody who has reached certain spiritual heights, yivashu Torah mipiyu. Then listen to what he has to say. However, if in love, but if he's not of that level, you have someone who's of a low level, al yivashu Torah mipiyu. Then don't. It's interesting that there, every so often, Rav Shechter likes to drive this point home, that you have, for example, some great rabbi who gives wonderful shiurim, and then he gets caught doing something morally totally inappropriate, halachically inappropriate. So there are people out there who say, well, you know, nobody's perfect, but still, the man's brilliant. You still learn from the man. So this, the answer is no. That obviously, Rav Shatari says, if the person does not have a certain moral level, then even if it sounds brilliant to his, to you, his Torahs, this is not something that you should be following because it can't be correct. Because if somebody really was connected to the Torah, they would have, be a higher moral being than this person. Right? This is an issue that we actually never spoke about, and one that we probably should, is hypothetically, if you have a member of a Beis Din who gets caught being a peeping Tom, right? Is, do you turn around and say that person obviously was not a kosher dayan? Again, it's of course a theoretical case, but in the event the person was a dayan in the area of conversions, that could be ugly. On the other hand, when the person shows such a degree of moral turpitude, you really got to wonder, right? Obviously, in that theoretical case, the outcome would be hard to swallow. But that's a real issue. So again, this is one thing we learned from Malachi, that in order for a person to be followed and learned from, that person has to have a certain degree of morals. Theoretically? So theoretically, I think what was done is both the chief rabbinate of Israel and the RCA came out with quick statements saying that in fact, that the people who might have converted under this person have nothing to worry about. Not everybody agreed with that statement. Rav Schechter might not have been very excited about it. Which leads to the question, if I theoretically was a convert from that person, should I on my own go back for a second dip? Which is an interesting question to explore. All right, Joanne is here. Hi, Joanne. Switch to active. Okay. Oh, let me just turn the video on. There we are. Yeah, I think that it died. That's what I think in my. Okay. So that is the first point. From there, there is this discussion, as we mentioned earlier, about intermarriage. Just to give you an idea, so this, there is a machlokas here, which isn't such a machlokas, but it's interesting, regarding that since we know that much of the book is written as dialogue, right, there's a possibility sometimes you don't know who's talking. Right? It's not always clear. So let's look at two psukim, starting in number 17. He says, "Hello, Av Echad leKulanu. Hello, Kel Echad baranu. Madua Nivgad Ishbalchi v'chal bris avosemit." He says, "We all have one father, right? We're all created by one person. So why would one person go and rebel against another?" He says, and in fact, look what Yehuda did. He went and rebelled against Hashem by coming through now and marrying non-Jewish women. The Ibn Ezra explains that both of these psukim were said by
Malachi. Malachi says what? He said, listen, we're all members of the same tribe, right? We're all descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? And therefore, we should really be loyal to one another. And what are you people doing? Turning your back on the Jewish women and marrying outside of the faith. That is the understanding of the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim. If you look at the Das Mikra, however, he offers a totally different translation. He says that the first pasuk is not Malachi, but is the people talking to Malachi. And the people are saying, "Hello, Zohu Tainus HaKonim V'am." The people are turning, they said, I don't understand. So why are you making us get rid of our wives? Right? We're all brothers, all nations. We're all human beings. So why do we have to limit who we're married to? Let's socialize, let's be part of the greater world. So why is this considered a rebellion? It says, so it's very interesting that if you look at a second reading, is that just like, usually you would never say this, because you wouldn't stick a random dialogue when it doesn't indicate otherwise. But because dialogue is so much part of the book, you have the ability, in this case at least, to turn around and say, you know, here we are, right? People are first saying to Malachi, Av Echad, we're all from one father. It's not we're all from Yaakov. We're all from Adam HaRishon, which is interesting in terms of the modern day battle against intermarriage. That really is the argument being made. And therefore, Malachi is responding to the comments that we're used to. So that's an interesting use of that. Got to read the book. But he talks about why, in fact, this was not a good argument. My favorite part of Malachi, related to what we've been talking about in the halacha, is the following statement. Again, this is already in the second Haftarah. He says, Havios kol maser al beis ha'otz, if he tell the beis ha'otz, v'chanuni no bezos amar Hashem tzvokos. Im lo aftachem arubos ha'shmaim v'ikos ilchem bracha ha'aguli dai. He says, you people, you're not giving charity the way you're supposed to. You're not giving your shrumas, your maisras. God says, I dare you. I dare you. Go, do what I say, and I guarantee, test me, and I guarantee you that, in fact, you'll become fabulously wealthy. I today looked up, I finally found this. I remember many years ago. I didn't remember how many years ago. It would seem over 23 years ago. I read a piece in the Wall Street Journal. And the Wall Street Journal had an article, small blurb, says the Malachi feature helps market life insurance to black congregations. It's in English. So he said, USF&G Corp's Fidelity and Guaranteed Life Insurance in Baltimore teams up with a local consultant to offer a series of policies to meet specific needs of the African-American church community. Each policy includes a feature named after the Old Testament's Book of Malachi, which discusses tithing that pays a minimum of 10% of the death benefit to the church. Among other things, the program aims to help build church endowments. So they came up with this gewaldic idea that they have a special life insurance policy where you collect 90% and 10% automatically goes to the church. That it takes meiser for you. What's the chachma behind this as a businessman? The chachma is the church is going to do the selling for you. And it's not going to cost you a penny. Right, by getting up here and says, Bachuni no bezos, it says a Malachi. So they were, in fact, they were going to the black churches and having the black pastors sell insurance for them. So,
is it real insurance or fraudulent?
It was real insurance.
But they just didn't have to do anything because the ministers were.
Now again, they had the ministers were given an incentive to do the selling for them. So that was known as the Malachi feature pushing to this pasuk. So obviously that's important. Besides that, also, however, There is a Gemara in Tainus, which discusses this as well, which is also something that deserves more of a discussion than it's going to get right now. Gemara tells us, Aspichei Rav Yochanan liyinuka deresh lakish. Rav Yochanan ran into the grandson of Resh Lakish. A little mishpacha there. Amalei, Emily Psukech. He said, no, what are you learning yeshiva today? Amalei, Aser Taser. Doing Parshas Re'eh. Amalei, my Aser Taser. So what about it? Amalei, Aser Mishvil Tassis Asher. Give your mice and you'll become rich. Amalei, Minamlach. He says, how do you know? So the kid says to Rav Yochanan, Zil Nisi, try it out. Amalei, Mishar in the Suya Akash Baruch Hu. Yochanan says, you have to test God? He says, don't test God. Amalei, the kid says, Hachi Amar Rav Hoshia. Chutz Mizu, this is the exception. Shinema Avias called Maaser El Besar Otzer. The Terev Bevesi Bachonenu Chanuni knows also Ma Hashem Slakos. He says, I guarantee you, you go and you do this, Malachi says, you have a right to test me here. Challenge me. Right? If you get up and you say to God, I'm going to come to Midian every day for the next month, and because of that, I want to become rich. God says, do whatever you want. Not my problem. It says, I'm going to give my meiser. Then, in fact, you have a right to do that. Let's say that the bracha be ad b'li day. There's no answer. He said, "What does that mean?" Amar Rami Bar Chama, Amar Rav, ad she yibolus vosech milomer day. Right, your lips will get tired by saying enough, 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 enough. What am I going to do with all this money? That's how much it's going to be. So again, so that is the next part, and then the final part of Malachi is probably the most famous psukim, the last two, where Malachi signs off. Signs off on behalf of all prophets. Says, "Hine Anochi Shaleach Lachem Es Elia Anavi Liftei Bo Yom Hashem Agadol VaAnora." Malachi says, God tells us that I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before that great and awesome day. All right, ignore the last half, but in fact, that the hearts of the parents and the children will all return and it'll all be wonderful. What are we talking about here? So the Gemara in Erevin, we'll just say it outside, talks about the case that we raise from time to time, that Elio Anavi can't come on Sundays. Can't come on Sundays, sorry. Blue laws. Sunday blue laws. The Mashiach can't come on Sunday. Now the reason is as follows. That's because it says that Eliyahu is going to come the day before the Mashiach. The day before that great and awesome day. Okay, he says, so that means Eliyahu comes one day and Mashiach comes the next day. Now, Eliyahu can't come on Shabbos because he's in the heaven, and that's the problem of traveling on Shabbos. Tomorrow tells us. So therefore, he can't come on Shabbos, but we'll put that aside, that minor issue. We will just focus on this idea that what this pasuk means is that Eli's going to come lifnei bo yom Hashem agadol v'anora. Malachi is saying that there will be that I am the last of the Nevi'im. There will be no more prophets. And then he says that that the next prophet you're going to see is Eliyahu, is Elijah the prophet, and Elijah the prophet will be coming the day before to announce the Mashiach. That's what the Gemara says. The Rambam famously had a different version. The Rambam says, one of the last halachas in the Rambam, Yeremi Pshutim Shaldivar Enovim Shed with Chia Shimosa Mashiach Tia Melchamas Gogu Mago. The order is going to be, we discussed this on a few Wednesdays, is first is going to be the war of Gog and Magog. V'shekodim l'chamas Gog and Magog, yamo navi liyasha yisola hachin liban. But before that, there will be a navi that will set us straight. Shenema hine anochi shalech l'chem yasi Eliyahu. So the Rambam understood that I'm going to send you Eliyahu, lifnei vo yom Hashem agadol v'anora, not before the Mashiach, he's not saying, but rather before the war of Gog and Magog. That's when Eliyahu is going to come.
Why then?
That's what the Rambam says. If you look at the Chidah in number 26, he says, why then? You could have been the Chidah. The Chidah could have been Patty. Who knows how it turns out? So he says, He said, it's a question, you got to figure it out. It probably, most people assume, it all depends on how do you translate the words. It's come before that great and awesome day. The Gemara assumes the great and awesome day is the day of the coming of Mashiach, as opposed to the Rambam assumes the great and awesome day is the war. How could the Rambam disagree with the Gemara? So there's a Medrash that seems to be saying the way that the Rambam said, that there's a different source that he's relying upon. Bottom line is that this is the end of Nevuah. Malachi is signing off, right? That's the simple understanding. And he says, this is the end of Nevuah. You're never going to, from here on in, you're going to have to work out things a different way because God's not sending messages. For the entirety of the Second Temple and beyond, there are no prophets. So that is the reason why he sends it off that way. All in all, a short, safer, but a very interesting one. Each one of these sections, there's a lot more to talk about than I have spoken about. And everyone, as in all cases, is encouraged to learn it on their own. Thank you.
Thank you.